My name is Asif Rahmani, or I should say Ikhit Asif Rahmani. SharePointElearning.com and SharePoint-Videos.com are the two websites that I own and that I operate. You're welcome to visit it. I'll talk to you more about this in a second. But before any of that stuff, I want to talk to you about this presentation and what it's all about, so you know what you're in for. You know, I used to be a developer, not too many years ago, about 3-4 years ago. And I don't develop anymore. And one of the main reasons that I do not do development or programming anymore is because of the stuff that I'm about to show you today. The data view web part, or now the XSLT list view web part, extremely powerful web parts which come with SharePoint Designer, which will allow you to make data-centric applications. And data is what it's all about, isn't it? Getting data from all different places, combining it together, showing different composite applications. So I'm about to show you the reason I'm not a developer anymore. All right. A few things about me. Here's my email address. You're welcome to get connected if you like. I'm a SharePoint Server MVP and a Microsoft Certified Trainer out of Chicago, by the way, Chicago, United States. And this is the site I was talking about before, SharePoint-Videos.com. If you enjoy the demos that I'm about to show you today, you can watch the same, well, not the exact same, but the same functionality on SharePoint-Videos.com. I already have the demos up on there for that functionality. And the demos are for SharePoint, SharePoint Designer, InfoPath, all that stuff. That's what I do. And one main thing that I try to concentrate on as much as possible is to show you how to build powerful applications without doing any coding. All right? I've started training. SharePoint 2010 training with critical path training. We'll be doing our SharePoint Designer 2010 training starting next month. So if you're interested in that, but that's in the United States. But we also have webcasts that we do, which is for around the world. So in case you're interested, you can go to criticalpathtraining.com to get more information. Here's a book we co-authored, Professional SharePoint Designer 2007. All about SharePoint Designer 2007. This is, we like to think of this as a missing manual. There's a lot of cool things you could do with SharePoint Designer, but there was no manual that ships with it, really. So we tried to make this a true manual of all the different things that are in there and how you can take advantage of it. I saw this book at the bookstall as well, so welcome to buy it. All right, and I'm a speaker at various conferences like this one, or TechEd, SharePoint Conference, SharePoint Connections in the United States, etc. Enough about me. Let's talk about this presentation here. Lots of demos. Questions, definitely I'll take. I took the questions yesterday as well. And I'm going to try as best as possible to keep the answers short within the session, but then after that I'll be around if you have any other questions. And if you already have SharePoint Designer concepts in mind, if you already know those things, then I think you'll enjoy this presentation more. Because the SharePoint Designer basics is what I covered yesterday. Those I won't be talking about anymore. It's going to be, here's how you just get in and start building the solutions using the XSLT view web parts, all right? All right, the SharePoint 2010 platform, as you've seen already in this conference, and I'm sure before as well, on websites, watching videos and all that stuff, there's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there? So much stuff. And I think SharePoint 2007 is where it really opened the doors and made this SharePoint application not a fad anymore. It was a real application that people started taking notice of, and SharePoint 2010 just takes it a much bigger step further by building on the platform and giving all these different technologies, all the different solutions. One of the things that we're going to be talking about in this session, well, the thing, is going to be the XSLT views, the XSLT list views and the XSLT data views. And I'll explain exactly what these things are in just a second. The first time when the XSLT data view web part came out, when I started taking notice of it, was in Front Page 2003. Not many people knew about it at that time. But this web part, which only came with Front Page 2003, lets you get information from a variety of places. Okay, from your databases, from web services, from XML files, SharePoint lists. Not a lot of people knew about it. People who didn't know about it, I think, took a really good advantage of it. One problem, well, not necessarily a problem, but one drawback, unfortunately, of this thing was this is read-only capability in Front Page. So you could read data, but you couldn't write back the data source. Then came SharePoint Designer 2007 and SharePoint 2007. At that point in time, now you could write back to the data source as well, whether it be a database or SharePoint lists, etc. So the way this process works, The XSLT data view web part, or also it started to be called XSLT data form web part because I had the functionality to write back now. The way the process works is as following. You have your SharePoint Designer application, right? So that's this one right here. All right. First thing it does is it gets its data from somewhere. And that somewhere could be all these sources right here. An OLADB data source, a web service, SharePoint list, XML files, etc. It gets its data back to SharePoint Designer as XML. Once it's there, then it manipulates, you manipulate it the way you want it using XSLT. All right, XSLT, of course, is a pretty powerful language, but it's also pretty complex if you do it by hand. You don't have to do it by hand. It's all clicking around here and there. I'll show you exactly how to do it. But that's what's happening in the back end. It's using XSLT to transform the data, the XML data, into readable format, readable HTML. And it deploys it back to SharePoint services. All right, this is all in SharePoint Designer 2007 and beyond, of course. So all you require to have is SharePoint Designer, a copy of SharePoint Designer, which is free, and SharePoint services, not even SharePoint Server, just SharePoint services. And then your users can view the data in the browser. They don't need anything. They just need a browser, any browser. Firefox would do. Safari will do. Internet Explorer, of course. And that's it. That's how it worked. The one thing that was missing in this SharePoint 2007 environment was this was a really, really cool and powerful web part, but once you deployed it and people could view it in the browser, they could not make changes to it further using the browser, because this web part, when you opened it up and you went to the task pane and you looked at the code behind of it, it was all XSL and XML, right? So a end user site administrator, goes in there and says, okay, well, I can't do anything with it now. It's just, this is what it is. And whoever has privileges to go to SharePoint Designer and customize it further, only they can extend this functionality. We have in SharePoint 2007 web parts called list view web parts, right? I'll write that down here, list view web parts. List view web parts, that's how we abbreviate it. And a list view web part is any web part that shows a list, basically. So a web part that you put up on a page and is showing a context, list, announcements, list, whatever, those are all list view web parts. That's what we have currently in 2007. Now those, of course, are customizable by users using the browser, right? You go through a task pane, you do whatever you want, change the view and everything else. But those are not as powerful as the data view web parts. So you have the list view web part, which is customizable in the browser, and then you have data view web part, which is extremely more powerful, but it's not customizable in the browser. So now, in 2010, we have the XSLT list view web parts, in addition to the XSLT data view web parts. So now you get the functionality all over the place. You can just think of this as, if you've ever worked with data view web parts and you know what they are, data view web parts everywhere. That's basically what it is. That's what it boils down to. And I'm not going to go through all this diagram here, but just one thing to remember is that these web parts get data, of course, from list libraries and all. And, of course, you have the data view web parts still there, which get information from everywhere else, from databases, web services and all. And once you get the information, you can transform it any way you want. You can format the data using conditional formatting. You can change the pagination. You can change whatever you want to, and I'll show you all that stuff in demos. And once you deploy it to the web browser, site administrators can extend this further using the web browser. Just keep those things in mind. And this replaces the list view web part. List view web part will be no more in 2010, just the XSLT list view web part. All right, so here's a breakdown of the comparison between the list view web part, which exists in 2007, and the XSLT list view web part, and also the data form web part, or the data view web part that is in 2010. So list view web parts that I've been talking about, which had limitations, is right here. And it uses CAML. Anybody want to take a guess of what CAML stands for? CAML? Anybody know? Not anymore, you said? Oh, really? Okay. Well, what does it stand for, though? Anybody know? Yes, sir. That's right, Collaborative Application Markup Language. And who likes to write the Collaborative Application Markup Language? Anybody here? Nobody that I've met so far. It's extremely complicated, right? It does some really powerful things, but it's very, very complicated. So it's been done away with completely now. In the Lisp web parts, now it's all XSLT based, and same thing with the data format part, which has been the case since 2003. You have all these, you can change stuff in SPD, you can change stuff in browser for the XSLT Lisp web part, as it says over here. Rendering items, lists, whatever you want. Conditional formatting, the last point over here. So lots of functionality has been added. Any web parts that you'll see out there, you can just assume now that it's going to be XSLT Lisp view web part or XSLT data view web part in 2010. All right. This is something that I pointed out yesterday as well, and I'm just going to show you a picture of it before I do my demos. You know, sometimes you want to really emphasize some data, and you want to conditionally format it, saying that when a data point equals whatever, maybe a parameter coming in or something that I define myself, I want this data point or this row or this column or whatever to turn a different color, you know, or just to be emphasized. Our sales are really low in the company. Well, anything that's under $1,000, under $1 million or whatever, make sure it appears in red. Conditionally formatting, okay? Now, conditionally formatting of data means that you're conditionally formatting it only at the user level. You're not doing anything to the actual data source. You're doing it only at the user level, right? All right, so I want to show you this and a whole lot more stuff in my presentation, in my demo starting right now because that was my last slide. I'll bring up this slide at the end for more information. So let's switch to the demo machine. First thing I'm going to do, open up SharePoint Designer and open up this top site, which is SharePoint eLearning. So start, all programs, Microsoft Office, and then SharePoint Designer 2010. All right, click on Open Site in the backstage, and I'll go to my top site, which is SPEL. Now, I have a bunch of different sub-sites in here. In fact, one of them, I think Sales is the one that I used yesterday in my presentation, but I want to start with a completely blank scratch website so you can see step-by-step exactly how you can build your solutions from scratch. So I'll click on New for Sub-Sites. Making a new subsite. It's asking me the name for it. I'll type in HR, and I'm going to select the team site template. Any templates that you have internally built in or the custom templates will all appear here to choose from. Click on OK to make my site. Very quick. It makes it. Now, there you go. SharePoint Designer only allows opening one site at a time in an environment. So if you make a new site, it opened up a new instance of SharePoint Designer. I'm going to go back to the other one and close this thing so it doesn't confuse me or you. All right, let's maximize this thing. So this is my team site. I'm going to name this HR or Human Resources. Save this here. And if I wanted to see exactly what the site looks like, I can click on the web address. Should open it up in a browser. All right, and we'll be coming back to the site again and again. This is the HR site from scratch. First thing that I want to do, actually, let me go to the browser first. There's a Excel sheet that I have with some data. This is different data than the one I showed yesterday, but similar. How many people were in my presentation yesterday, by the way? Just show of hands. Well, thank you very much for coming back. Here's an Excel sheet called Employees, all right? And it just has information about employees, contact IDs, login IDs, etc. And I've categorized or I've marked this whole thing as a table. That's all I've done so far with it. Let me go ahead and close this thing here. And in my SharePoint site now, I want to go and make a new list using that spreadsheet. So I'll go to Site Actions, More Options, go to Import Spreadsheet. I think if I filter on lists, I'll get there easily. Here we go. Import spreadsheet, create. And I'll name this employees. And I'm going to browse to the Excel location. Here it is. It's in my documents folder. Oh, that's the wrong one. Employee. All right. And I'm going to click on import. When you do that, it shows up Excel. And it asks you exactly which data do you want to import from this Excel spreadsheet. Well, since I have a table range, I'm just going to select that table. It's just called table 1 right now. And say go ahead and import that. So far, so good? Okay. Just getting started. All right, so here's my employees table. And I'm going to be working with this data going on forward. Employee list, I should say. So this, what you're looking at right now, is a web part, correct? That's exactly what it is. It's a web part. It's showing the employee list. This is the list view web part, but this is the XSLT list view web part. Now, what I'm going to do is go to SharePoint Designer, refresh my site, click on refresh button, go to lists and libraries. Here's my employees list. I'll go into employees list. In the employees list, just like any other list, when you see the summary page for the list, it shows you the views and it shows you the forms that exist to show, to render the data, and also to let you edit the data from the browser, right? Forms I'll worry about later, right? Right now, I just want to look at the views. So currently, you have the all items view, which is the default view showing all the data. I want to create a new view which is going to be, which is going to become the new default view for my list. So I'll click on new. Name this employee info. Make this the default view. Very simple. All right. I'm going to click on this now, employee info. And it should take me to my employee info page. All right. Let me go ahead and close this thing here. Here's my data. So by default, it just took whatever the default view of that list is, and it's showing me that information. Let me go ahead and change the information here. I don't want to see all the different columns, so let me take out a couple of different columns. As you can see, that there's an attachment column, which I will never need, at least not today. And there's a salaried flag. I don't like to keep this one. There's no really need for me here. So I'll just go to add remove columns. As you can see, the ribbon is showing me the list view tools right now. It's very context sensitive, so it's showing me the XSLT list view tools. I'll click on the Add Remove Columns button. And when it comes up, I'm going to go ahead and remove the salaried flag and the attachments. Remove. All right. Next thing. Something simple, but I want to change the view of how this web part looks. I'm going to make it a shaded view, so every other row is shaded. Once again, put my cursor on this web part, click on Design, and I'm going to choose from any of these designs here that I have available to me. The one that I want is this one, shaded. And it made the change. It's kind of hard to see, but it made it. Let me save it. I'll get back out there and show you how it looks in the browser. Refresh this list. All right. Second one? One more time? This is... Oh, good question. Good point. Thank you. How do you change the views in the browser? Yeah, that's true. You could do that too. But I don't want to remove it. What I'll do is I'll just re-navigate to the employees list and see what happens. Yeah, I could remove it as well if you want. But no, I'm not going to do it. I'll go to employees list, and here we go. It looks very similar, actually, but it's shaded. You can see that, right? It's shaded. It doesn't have the attachments column anymore. It doesn't have the salaried flag anymore. All right? Not too much differences here. But that's not what I want to focus on anyway. I want to do some more cool stuff here. So I'll go back to SharePoint Designer. Next thing that I want to do is show you how conditional formatting works. All right? Conditional formatting, as I mentioned, can be applied to a row, to a column, or to just a particular selection that I've selected. Now, conditional formatting says that give me a criteria, tell me what to look for, and then once I see that condition to be true, then tell me what to do. And the to-do part, it could be changing the style of the selection, changing the style of the formatting, or it could be showing content or hiding content. All right? So what I want to do is, first I'll go to this vacation, I'll go to the vacation hours here, and I want to show that if anyone's vacation hours are holiday hours are less than 10, then go ahead and take that column, not just selection, but take that column and go ahead and highlight that as red and maybe change the background or something. So I'll go to vacation hours and I'll say options, conditional formatting. Here's all the different options that I have to show content, to hide content, which I will use later. But right now what I want to do is I want to format the column. Okay, so I want to format the column, this one, using some condition criteria. All right, my criteria is going to be if vacation hours is less than 10, and then I'm click on the set style button. The set style button brings up a modify style box, and this is what lets me make my CSS, my styles, basically. It's going to produce automatically my styles for me, the style CSS. What I want to do here is change the style of this font to maybe italic. Gives me a preview down below of what it's going to look like. Change the color of this to red. And there's a bunch of things that you can do with it, by the way. Change the border, changing the positions, etc., the layout. Let's go to background, and if I had a good image, I would have changed the image, show an image in the back, but I'm just going to change the background color. And I'll go ahead and change it to, how about this one? All right, so this is what it's going to look like if vacation hours is less than 10. Let me close this thing here. Ooh, I don't want to close the whole thing yet. Just close this thing. All right. Let me go ahead and save this. Now, that's for setting style, right? It works fine. And SharePoint Designer is a completely WYSIWYG tool, which is W-Y-S. What is it? What you see is what you get. Forget the exact. Yeah. So what you're seeing here is exactly what you can see in the browser. What I also want to do is, you know, and this is a question that I want to ask you guys, because I've not studied Dutch too much, just a few words that I told you before. How do you say mail in Dutch? Mon. Is there? What was that?
Mon.
Mon? Okay. Oh, okay. What about female? No. Okay, so it is M and F, basically, the letters. But that's not the case in many languages, of course, right? Oh, V. Okay. There you go. So it's not M and F, right? Gender would be M and V, I guess. So what I want to do, instead of showing a letter, is I want to show a picture of a male or a female. All right? So here's what I'm going to do. I already have the M and F here. I'm going to change that. Let's do a step by step. The first thing I'm going to do is add those pictures that I want to show. So I'll go into gender here, click on insert, and click on picture. And I have a couple of pictures, female and male, just the male sign, the female sign that you see on the restrooms, for example. I'll click on male, click on insert. It's asking me the alternative name for it. Male, of course. There we go. And I'll also insert female. Insert picture, documents, and female. This alternate text is very helpful, so if somebody cannot see the picture, it doesn't render for them. It shows them the alternate text, at least. All right, and now this looks pretty big. I want to make this smaller. When I click on a picture, any picture, it gives me the picture tools up above. Let me change the contrast, the brightness, the formatting, wrapping text around it on the side, whatever you want to do. All I want to do right now is just make this a little bit smaller. I could do this with these handles here, or I can change the size up above right here as well. In fact, once I go ahead and change this to the way I want it, I'm going to click on this, and I'll go to Picture Tools Format and look at this, 17 and 32, 17 width, 32 height. And I'll change the female icon to the same dimensions, 17 and 32, was it? I think so, yeah. All right. Easy enough. All right, first what I'm going to do is save this, all right? I'm going to save this page so it goes ahead and saves and embeds these two pictures on this page. So I'll click on Save. Automatically, every time you save a picture, or actually other things also that I'll talk about in a second, it saves it in the Site Assets library. This is the one, Site Assets, and this exists right here. It comes automatically built in with a new team site that you make. Click on OK. Verify that in Site Assets, my female sign and male sign exist in there. And by the way, here, asset could also mean a CSS file, JavaScript file, XML file, text files. Bless you. So any of these kind of files that you want to save in SharePoint, you might want to consider saving it in the Site Assets Library, okay, which is built in. All right, let's go back to Employee Info. And now let's do our magic over here, which is going to be clicking on the image and saying exactly when to show this image or this content. So I'll click on the image and click on conditional formatting and say show content. Then it gives me the criteria box again, and I'll say when gender equals M. I think I had the male one selected, right? Yeah. So when gender equals M, show that icon. Click on OK. Since is WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get is, of course, going to render it right away. Right now, I think all of them first five are male, so it still kept all the five icons there. That would not be the case when I click on female, conditional formatting, show content, and when I change this to gender equals female, all of them should disappear, I think. There we go. Right? Let's take this off again. All right. And now there's no real need for this M anymore, correct? We don't need that. So I'm going to click on this M data point and just hit on delete on my keyboard, and that's gone. Keeping in mind that this data view app part, or XSLT list view app part, whatever you want to call this one specifically, this is a repeated web part. So it's a table, but it's a repeating table. So whatever you do to one row, one data point, it gets repeated everywhere else. So I deleted one data point, and of course it got deleted everywhere else. Let me go ahead and save this page and show you how this looks now. Back in the browser, I'll refresh this list. Here we go. Right? Male, female, the M and F is gone. All right. Now what I want to do is I have this information, which is really good information. This is coming from where now? This data. Test your memory. What was that again? Excel is where it imported from, right? But now it's into a? It's in a list, absolutely. Excel was the original location of this data. I imported this into a list, and now it's showing me all the information from the list. Now, of course, all the columns, actually, except the two that I took out, attachments and salaried flag, are showing here. What I want to do now is make a connection to a database, all right? To my underlying database, of course, I would have to have the privileges, either through single sign-on or through direct to make the connection. But if I have the privilege and I'm a site collection administrator or so forth, I can go to data sources. In data sources, I'll click on, where is it? Database connection. Okay, so database, by the way, data sources shows me all different connections I can make. And if I do have time, which I think I will, I'll be showing you later how you can make a SOAP service connection as well, a web service connection. But right now I'm going to focus on making a database connection, this one. All right, gives me a dialog box here. I'm going to click on Configure Database Connection. Now, in my case, I'm going locally, so I'm just going to type in localhost. In your case, of course, this should be the fully qualified domain name of your server, so whatever.com, something like that. All right, and I'm going to be using my... Oh, thank you. That would not have worked otherwise. It's not that smart. Thank you. All right, so SA and then password, this password. Now, by the way, in production, what I would advise you is you might want to consider using single sign-on authentication for using this functionality. I do have a SharePoint, a video, actually, which describes exactly how you can set up single sign-on first and then use this functionality. But putting that together takes some time, so I'm not going to be demoing it here. I'll just be demoing it with the SA username and password. When I click on next, it's going to give me a warning, tell me, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Because anything that you send forward right now, making this SA or whatever SQL ID, it's going to get passed directly as clear text over the wire. So unless you have SSL running, unless you have HTTPS running, somebody can intercept it, hack it. So be careful what you're doing, is what he's telling me right now. I'm going to say, yeah, that's fine, I'm just doing a demo. No problem. Click on OK. There's all my different databases. I'll go to the AdventureWorks database, and I'll click on the contact table. All right, the contact table, the reason I picked this for this demo is because it has similar information to the employee table, the employee information that I have in the list. So I'm going to click the contact table, and before I move forward, I also want to point out here that you have the functionality to use select, update, insert, delete commands, or better yet, a stored procedure directly, which I would definitely recommend in production. So I'll click on finish here. You can filter and you can sort your connection right away here if you wanted to, but I don't want to, so I'll click on OK. I'm done. My connection is called Contact on AdventureWorks, Contact Table on AdventureWorks Database. All right, what I want to do now is go back to my employeeinfo.aspx page. That's my list view page before that I made, right? And in here, I'll go to the bottom of this page. So there's already a web part, which I'm not going to touch anymore right now. I'll go to the bottom of this, and here I'm going to say insert a data view. The first one was what? List view web part. And now we're going to make a data view web part. All right? They're both XSLT though. So data view and then contact on AdventureWorks. That's the connection that I'm using. All right. Here we go. In the data source details here, it shows me all different information, all different columns that I have. In fact, it shows me the preview of the information in that in those columns as well, the data values. What I want to do now is not use all this information that's coming through. okay, let me make this a little bit smaller. Okay, I'll get rid of it. Here we go. What I want to do is remove some of these columns. Just like that, just like before, I'm going to click on Add Remove Columns and take middle name, title. Just got my control key pressed here so I can select multiple values. And take everything except first name, remove it. And I'll take email address and add it. So now I have first name and email address on this form. All right. Now, this is something that I alluded to yesterday that I was going to show you. You know, right now I am showing first name only for this first field, right? But what I really want to do is show first name space last name. Now, keep in mind that you these are two different fields, right? First name and last name are two different fields. So, of course, I can show it in two different columns, but that's the easy way to do it. What I want to do is go into the XPath editor. XPath editor, which I'll show you in a second, lets you maneuver the XML and lets you say exactly which nodes in the XML, which points, data points in the XML that you want to see and how do you want to see it. So put it in simple terms here. What I'm going to do is click on the data point, the whatever, column here that I want to change, and then click on formula. Okay, this is a very, very powerful button here. You'll see in a second. You click on formula, and it shows you exactly what the formula is being used right now to show that column. And right, this is first name. All right, this is the XPath editor. XPath is X-P-A-T-H. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, but that's the way to traverse the XML application or the XML document object model in the back. What I want to do is I want to use first name and also last name, right? But I can't just simply type in last name here. What I want to do is use a function called concatenation. Concat, just like using concatenation in Excel. I'll take this, highlight this together and double click on concat here so it puts the first name in the concat function. Currently, the way it is, it shows me at the bottom the preview of the result, which is just the first name, Gustavo, Catherine, Kim. And I can manipulate this formula as much as I want until I get the result that I'm looking for. Always be looking at the preview when you're doing this thing. So what I want to do is do first name, space, last name. I'll do a comma, and it helps you with the kind of choices you have. Right now, I just want a string value, so I'll click on space, double quotes, space, double quotes. So you can see probably at the bottom it changed and now it's showing a little space after the first name. Then comma, and then I can pick any of the fields which are in my XML. I'll pick last name. And here we go. Here's the formula. And you can add as many fields as you wanted to. If you look down below now, it says Gustavo Achong or Catherine Abel, Kim Abercrombie. All right? Very, very powerful. There's lots of different functions you can use, by the way. If I showed you all these functions, look at that. There's so much stuff you can do with it. This is all we're going to do right now, concatenation of these two fields. I'll click on OK. Here we go. It shows me the whole information here. Now, one other thing to keep in mind here is that all these things, of course, are dynamic values, which are coming directly from where? The database, right? Okay. the first thing, the heading here is not dynamic. The heading is very, very static, meaning you can change that as much as you want. You can change the colors or whatever you want, and that will not affect the backend database at all. So I'm just going to go ahead and remove this, because it's not first name anymore. It's just name. All right, just name. And in fact, what I also do is maybe shade this a little bit. I'll highlight this stuff and treat it just like any other table. I'll go to home, maybe bold it, make it colorful. All right, then I'll save it. Let's look at in the browser now. Refresh this page, the employeeinfo.aspx. And here's what we got, right? First information, all this information coming from the SharePoint list. This information here is coming from the database. Can't tell the difference if you're a user, can you? And you should not need to. As an end user, so I'm not looking at you as an end user, I'm looking at your end users, whoever you designed this for. They should not need to know where the data is coming from, just as long as the data is relevant or what they need to see. Now what I want to do is I want to connect these two data sources. I have a field in the top web part here called contact ID, right here. And this contact ID field also is in this other web part. It's not visible, but it's there. It's in the data connection, I should say. So I want to hook up the contact ID there to the contact ID in the web part below. The way you can do that, and reason, by the way, is for, so if somebody clicks on a contact person, it shows relevant information for that person from the database. So in SharePoint Designer, I'll make what's called a, and I'm sure many of you have used this thing, what's called a web part connection. Go to the top web part. Here we go, the top one. And I'll click on Add Connection. You can do that, or you can right-click on this and say Web Part Connection. Either way, click on Add Connection, and okay, it's okay. It's okay. I've seen this one before. It's unfortunate, but this is a bug right now. And I love this where it says, for assistance, see the web part administrator or the web part developer or site administrator. And you know, usually 99% of the time, you are the one. It's like, okay, who do I go to? You figure it out, right? This bug, I'm hoping that's going to disappear by RTM. But the way I was able to get around this bug, and this is definitely a bug, is just undo and try it again. And hang on, let me knock on wood first. Click on Add Connection. Whew, see, it works. So I can redo my change, which was just the last change that I made here, and then go up above. Add Connection still works. And I have no idea why this bug is happening at the back end, but this is definitely a bug. Once I get some time, I want to dig down deep into it and then maybe blog about it to see exactly what the issue is. Anyway, so it's sending a row of data to from the top web part to somewhere. That's what it's telling me that it's going to do, which is fine. Next, connect to a web part on this page or connect to a web part on another page. That's a very powerful functionality that you don't get through the browser. You can connect to a web part not only on this page, but any other pages on the same site. I want to connect to a web part on this page, so I'll just stick to the first option. Next. The only other web part on this page is contact, so that's fine. And it's going to filter values using the contact ID information. Next. Now it's asking me, tell me where the data exists that you want me to put the relationship on. And that's contact ID, right? The second column right there, contact ID. All right, so contact ID on contact is equivalent to the contact ID in employees, is what we're saying. Make a relation on those two fields. Next, and finish. Let me save this here and show you how this renders in the browser by refreshing this page. All right. Now if I go to the bottom here, it shows me only one record, right? Which is Guy Gilbert and his email address. And that's the reason for that is because that's the first person. And it doesn't have the name for this person, but here we go. It says Guy 1. All right, and if you want to change it to somebody else, you just click on this double-sided arrow. This is the field that got inserted automatically for us. And if you click on the one for Rob, for example, and I go down below. Here you go. Now it's showing me Rob Walters' information. All right, so it's connected. Any questions about this so far? Yes, sir.
Where can you see the wet point connections?
Where can you see it?
Yeah, that there is a connection.
Okay. Well, in here, you're saying in here or in the SharePoint Designer? In SharePoint Designer, if you go to any web part and right-click or click on Add Connection, so this is what I used before, and this time I'm going to right-click here and say, where's my connection? Manage Connections. This shows you any connections that exist right now and additional that you can make. It's from one to many, basically, is connections that you can make. All right.
Can you also see them in the browser?
Yes, in the browser as well. Let's see. In the browser as well, if you edit this web part, and, you know, it's going off the screen here a little bit. You know that drop-down that exists in the browser when I go to edit page? In the edit page functionality, the task pane, when you bring up the task pane, it gives you the modify shared web part thing. Right below that is connections. And then if you click on connections, it shows you what connections has been made currently. Okay, and just like I was saying before, that this list view web part, you can go ahead and manage further if you wanted to using the browser. The data view web part that's down below, that you cannot manage any further in the browser. That can only be managed in the SharePoint Designer. But connections you can see. All right. Now what I want to show you also, and let me see how much time I have first of all. Great, I have time. What I want to show you also is how you can make a form. We worked on so far making a view of the list, right? Making a new default view for this list. You also have forms that you can make for a list. What are forms, by the way? Well, when I go back here and I click on, in the browser, click on any of these data points, the drop-down menu, also referred to as ECB menu, you can view item, you can edit item, or of course you can go and insert item as well. I can click on edit item and it shows me the form, which gives me the functionality to change the data points here, right? If I want to change this, or if I want to have a new form, that can also be done in SharePoint Designer very easily. What I intend to do right now is, through SharePoint Designer, I'm going to make a new edit form, and that's going to be the default edit form. All right. First, what I'll do is go using my, this is the breadcrumb trail, by the way, showing me exactly where I am and where I have been. I'll click on employees to get back to the employees list summary page. This is a summary page. And I'll go to forms section down below. In the forms section, I'll click on new. And here, I'm going to be calling this employee info, and it's going to be .aspx, like it says at the far right here. Always going to be aspx. And then I'm going to choose exactly what kind of form this is going to be. Form to insert a new item, to edit an existing item, or just to display an item, which is view an item. I want to click on edit item. Yes, sir?
In SharePoint 2007, you could click on the existing page and say new from this.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I have not seen exactly where it is, but yes, you can still do that. You can take an existing form. You know what? Actually, what this is going to do, it's going to do the exact same thing anyway. It's going to take the... That's right. Yeah, that's a good question. So if you make a new one, the question is here, can you make another new one using that first one that you've made, right, as a template, basically? That I've not tried yet, so something to try. Appreciate it. All right, I'll click on Edit Item Form. I'll say that set this as a default form. And also what I'm going to do is I'll tell it to make a list item from the drop-down menu. Make a new list item and call this list item anything that I want arbitrarily. How about employee, or how about edit employee info? Okay, so call it this thing, and whenever I click on that item, take me to this form that I'm making right now. Click on OK. Ooh, that's not good. Hang on. Did I already make one before? I'm sorry? No, this is just trying to make a new form right now, right? Let me just try this again, see what happened. Yeah, it should be fine. Hang on, let me try this one more time. I love when these things happen, you know? It's like, for no reason. Anyway. So that was definitely a bug as well, because the exact same thing I did again, and it worked right now. There are definitely some things that I've seen that which I'm really, really hoping Microsoft will fix by the time RTM comes around, which is still a few, I don't know exactly how long away it is, but hopefully it will get fixed. All right, so here's our edit employee info.aspx, right? I'll click on it. Shows me the form, and like you were saying, sir, that it takes the default form, whatever it is, and it shows me that information. And I can change this default form as I want. All right? Before I do anything here, I'm going to save this and show you exactly what it looks like right now. I'll go ahead and refresh in the browser, refresh my page. Now if I choose this drop-down menu, I see this edit employee info.aspx or edit employee info selection here, right? So if I had not made this a default page, then it would have only that form that I'm about to create right now would only show up with this first selection. But because I made this new one that I'm making a default view, either clicking on this selection or this selection will bring the same form, bring up the same form. And here we go, edit employee info. This is what the form looks like right now. All right, let me cancel here. Go back to SharePoint Designer. What I want to do is, there are some fields here that I don't want users to change. Currently, and let me show you one more time in case you missed it. In the browser, if somebody goes and edits a data point, they can change their login ID, they can change their employee ID, which is not good. These are primary keys that you don't want them to touch, right? So I want to take this functionality away from them, that they cannot change the login ID, they cannot change the employee ID. Let's say they can change the contact ID, manager ID, maybe not even contact ID, but I'll leave it right now. Some of the stuff they can change, other stuff they should not be able to change. So I'll go to SharePoint Designer, and I can change things at a field basis. I'll click on this field here, Login ID, and here's the arrow that appears, which is my favorite arrow in SharePoint Designer. I call this the magic arrow. The true name for it is the chevron, C-H-E-V-R-O-N, but I call it the magic arrow because of the following. When you click on it, it gives you the functionality to do lots of different cool things. You can change that to any kind of format that you want, including hyperlink, picture, number, whatever you want. And this can do wonderful things once you get used to this. I'll change this from the list form field, which it is right now, to text field. All right, text or label will do the same thing. It will make it uneditable. It's not editable anymore. I'll do the same thing with employee ID. Click on this arrow and change the format as text. Wonderful. And as you know, that whatever you're seeing here is what you're going to see in the browser, so I won't show you the browser just yet. I'll also go and maybe take a few fields out that I don't want to show. This is just a table, isn't it? This is just a table right now, so I'm going to take a few fields and just get rid of them. I'll highlight, for example, these last three things, and I'll go to table and say delete these rows. Simple enough, gone. Not enough for me yet. I want to do more stuff. How about I'll take this first column, highlight some of these data points here. Let's see, all the way here. And I'll change this to bold. Change the background color to, and this is something cool that I showed briefly yesterday. You know, you can change this to any color that you want. Lots of different selections that you have. You can click on custom. You can put the exact RGB and stuff as one if you want as well. Or you can say select. Here's the RGB you can put in here, hex value. Or you can select any color on your screen and have it put, give it directly that color. That comes really handy when you already have something on the screen that you want to brand to. So I'll say make it this color of the arrow. Okay? Click OK. Check mark, I mean. Here we go. Save. One more thing. How about in my web part here, or in my form here, I also want my logo to appear. My logo of my company. All right? My fictitious company, in this case. I'll click on this and say, oh, the color disappeared, by the way. How's that? I'll check that out. But let me do this first. Insert. Picture, documents, and I have the AdventureWorks logo. It's a fictional corporation. Insert. We'll call this AW. There we go. And I'm not sure how I was able to get rid of this color. Let's do this one more time. Looks fine. Save. It's telling me that the picture that you just added, you want to save it somewhere. Once again, save it to Site Assets Library. Click on OK. And it's done. Let's look at it now. Let me quiz you a little bit. There are two ways to get to that form that I just modified. What are those two ways? Give you some hint over here as well. What are the two ways that you see on the screen? That's right. The first option right here and the third option right here. You win the prize, or honor points, I guess, in this case. There's no prize. All right. But either way, if you click on this Edit Employee Info, you get to a page which looks like the one that you just defined. Or if you click on this drop down and click on Edit Item, here we go, Edit Item, shows you this dialog box with that information. Okay? So this is how you can modify a form. Yes, sir?
Can you do this change of label, text to label conditional, based on the status field or something?
Okay. In XSL, you can, depending on how things are going, you know, depending on some condition, parameter or something being passed, changing it, yes, you can. Can you do it graphically just by clicking around? I'm not sure. That's a good question. But definitely in XSL you can do it if you're okay to dive into the XSL and do a little programming in that case, if you want to call XSL programming. All right. Yes, sir. Can you dynamically list values within the form?
Yes, form fields create dynamic lists of values from the data source.
So you mean changing values depending on some other?
Yeah, drop down menu or something.
Okay. Well, a drop-down menu is very easily possible because, when you're looking at the XSLT web parts that we're looking at so far, let's see here. There we go. There's a design for the drop-down. So you can change the design of the web part, which is what we're looking at right now, to a drop-down, and then within the drop-down, you can tell it exactly which field to show. That you can do, absolutely. Does that help? Yes, the values can come from the back end. Once again, to do that, what you would need to do is make a data connection separately from the data source and go ahead and pop in the data connection in this form. Then it would work, yes. All right. Any other questions about this functionality so far before I show you one last thing, which is going to be hopefully very cool about web services? Yes, sir, in the back. Well, in the custom one that we have made, which is Edit Employee Info, so you're saying the other ribbon which exists on the other form.
It pops up and it shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is a built-in a functionality. You're talking about, let's see.
For example, the attached file, yeah, it is.
Well, this is actually the same ribbon that was there on the other page, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that whatever functionality exists in the existing one appears in the other one as well. The only thing that you don't get is the dialog framework, which exists. It shows the edit form, the initial edit form in the dialog. The other one does not.
Okay.
That's the only difference. Yes, one last question? Yeah.
Okay. How can I connect the tool menu to another column?
How can you connect the tool menu to another column? What is the tool menu?
Tool menu is the one that pops up when you edit the item. This is the tool menu, yes.
How do you connect?
I want to connect it to another column.
You want to connect this to another column? Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I see what you're saying. This functionality you can do by changing the view of this list. When you modify views of a list, you can, out of the box, you can only do that for a few fields which are available. Okay, so when you modify the view of this list, it's going to show you that there are different columns which says, for example, title, and then in the parentheses it says link to edit menu. Okay, so whatever has that functionality, you can use that. Now, if you wanted some other column to have the same functionality, that I've not been able to do without any coding. If anybody has any idea of how to do that without coding, then I would welcome that idea as well. You can do it with coding by changing the actual list definition, but I'm not sure how you can do it without doing that. Okay. All right, let me show you one last thing here as well, which I think you'll appreciate, and then we'll go ahead and take any other questions. This is all good. I think going to SharePoint lists, going to SharePoint libraries, going to databases, but how about getting to external systems? How about going to web services? Of course, web services, as I'm sure many of you know, when you get to a web service, that means you can get to anything, right? All the different major websites on the internet right now, all the different major corporations, every one of them have web services that they expose. And web services is just like a machine talking to another machine. That's what it's all about, right? So your machine, your application here, talking to another application and getting information from that application, deploying it here, is what we're talking about here. I'll go to data sources, and I'll click on the SOAP service connection, which is getting to a web service. And here I need to type in the exact address of the web service. What I need to do here, since I'm running local here, is I'm gonna connect to a SharePoint web service, okay? The reason I want to do that is because what I want to do is in my HR site, which I created today, I want to show the information from the sales site. Now, sales site is what I made yesterday. Whoever was here yesterday, I just made a sales site that was also from scratch, and I put a customers list in there, and I had others list in there. I want to show information from that site in this site. All right, so I'm going cross-site now. So to do that, what I need to do is use a web service called lists.asmx. Lists.asmx. By the way, if you wanted to know all different web services that exist in SharePoint, and you have rights to the SharePoint server, you just go to IIS, Internet Information Services. And within that, you can go to your SharePoint application, vti_bin, and you can explore here. Explore on the right, and this shows you, if you click on sorting by type, all the different web services which exist. Where are they? Here we go. Here's all different web services that exist, lots of different web services. The one that we want to use is going to be the lists.asmx. All web services have the same extension at the end, .asmx. All right. Now, I'm going to type this in. http://spel/sales is the site that I want to get information from. Slash, and let me see if I don't get the address correct here. vti_bin/lists.asmx. And then it gives me an example here that you want to type in WSDL, which is the contract basically for the web service. You want to type that in at the end and click on connect now, and it connects. Now, you tell exactly what operation that you wanted to execute. Do you want to get information? Do you want to submit information? What do you want to do? Well, I want to get information. The operation that I want specifically is going to be to get the list collection. Get the list collection. All right. And that's it. My web services is done. I'll click on OK. And here it is. The SOAP service new connection is lists on SPEL. So what I'm going to do here is not to clutter my stuff that I had before. I'm going to make a new page. And in that new page, in my site, I'll go ahead and put this information there. Site pages is a library, also new to SharePoint 2010, where you want to go and make your new pages. So I'll go to site pages, which already has my two default pages in there. I'll click on web part page to make a new page. And I'll call this, what did I call it here? List collection .aspx, all right, list collection.aspx. That's just arbitrary, of course. When I go into this page and I say edit file under customization, it's going to show me what this page looks like right now. Here we go. That's the new web part page. In my web part zone here, I'm going to say insert data view and then go down to lists on SPEL. Okay, it's coming, getting information right now through the web services from the sales site. And while it's doing that, actually, let me also show you the sales site so you know what it's there. Go to my sales site, which is a subsite of my top site right here. View all site content. Here's all the different lists and libraries that exist on my sales site, okay? Customers, links, suggestions received, tasks. Some of these are default lists. Some of the other ones are the ones that I created myself. In SharePoint Designer now, it's showing me all those lists. Now, this is not the best view of the information that's coming through right now, but I can clean that up, right? The main thing is it's showing me all the information and a whole lot more that I didn't want to see here. So once again, add, remove columns. I'll take the ones that I don't want out. Let's see, which ones do I want? I want to just keep the title, take everything else out, remove. And I'll take description, and I'll add that title. So I have title and description of the list itself showing up here. Much cleaner, right? Let's go ahead and save this page. All right. Now, would it be really cool if I could link up these names as well to the exact location? So now I'm showing in a new page on my HR site all the different lists and libraries that exist on the sales site, right? But what I want to do now is provide my users the functionality to click on the particular list or library and be navigated to that list or library, given, of course, that they have permissions. If they don't have permissions, they'll just get access denied. So I'll click on any of these list names here, and I'll say, what should I say here? Insert, here we go, insert hyperlink. Okay, insert hyperlink. It's showing me that currently it's showing me the title field for the text to display. For the hyperlink, that's not what I want. Okay, for the hyperlink, what I want is, I'll click on this FX button, which is insert formula, and I'll choose the default view URL. The default view URL is going to be the default view address of that list, all right? And that's going to be the address that I want to hyperlink to. Click on OK, and click on OK. There we go, hyperlinked. All right, let me save this and show you how this looks. I'll go back to my HR site, go to All Site Content, and go to Site Pages Library. That's where I made my new page. ListCollection.aspx. Here it is. All right. If I click on a page or link right now, how about customers? That's what I made yesterday. Now it goes to the customers list, which I had made yesterday. But this wasn't enough for me, so I went a step further. Let me show you one more cool thing you can do with it. You see all these different icons that exist? Wouldn't it be cool if I could show these icons too? Let me show you how you do that? Yeah? All right. Let's do that. All right. What you're seeing here in SharePoint Designer is all different fields that exist currently for that's coming through the web service. All right? What I want is one of these fields I know has the icon. Has to, right? It's the, where is it? Image URL. Now, I know this because I've played with it before and done it for many, many years now. Because this remains the same from SharePoint 2007, actually. Image URL has the icon information, but it has the address to the icon information. Not the icon itself, it's just the address to the icon information. So what I want to do, first of all, is I want to make some space for where I want to put it. So I'll go back, put my cursor before the list name. I'll click on my space bar to make some space there. And now what I'm going to say is, at that point right there, insert the image URL, insert selected fields as formatted as a, guess what, picture. Simple enough, isn't it? Just like that, image URL formatted as picture. Now it's asking me, are you sure you want to do this? And do you trust this source? It's getting all the information, blah, blah, blah. If you trust the source, then you just blindly say yes. Here we go, just like that. All the icons are there. Save it. Go back here, go to my HR site, go back to my page here, refresh my page, and here we go. Just like that. All right? Pretty simple to do. I mean, if you're a developer currently, or if you've been a developer before, you know that these things take time in programming, right? It takes time. Of course, it's all doable, and a whole lot more is doable. But a lot of these kind of things, 90% of the kind of stuff that you're making for your clients right now or for your company, you can do in DataView just like that. All right. That concludes my demos. So, wrap up over here. A lot of information you saw here. XSLT, DataView Web Parts, LiftView Web Parts are extremely, extremely powerful. Make use of them. Watch the videos if you want on SharePoint-videos.com of the other kind of stuff that you can do. I have lots of videos up there about these web parts. These are my favorite web parts. As I mentioned before, DataView and SharePoint Designer are the main reason I'm not a developer anymore. There's another session that I'm doing. If you want to see more on SharePoint Designer workflows kind of stuff, come to that session. That's going to be at 4:30 p.m., the last session of the day. And then there's also SharePoint UI customization and also advanced web part development in SharePoint 2010, which are also pretty good relevant sessions to the session that I just presented right now. And also some links that will help you in your knowledge for development, for IT professional, so forth. Please fill out an eval and connect with me if you want. And once again, thank you very much for coming.